You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was a little bit of, as you probably guess, something about the train. And that is exactly what we will be talking about today. As you know, in the news now, there's the discussion, heated discussion, and that's putting it mildly, on the subject of the rail once again. And the current mayor is chiming in and showing his frustrations, and he spoke about predisposition, but I was just curious. I never heard him talk about the rail in his campaigns, or never heard him talk about the rail at all, pretty much at any depth, but he seemed to be married to this thing now, and so I was personally curious, where did he get his vigor and his vim to, and willingness to fight and support this thing? Did he know something we didn't know, or was he participating in the back rooms of figuring this thing out before he became mayor and before he became a candidate? I don't know. I thought it was a city prosecutor, but hopefully he'll share that all with us, and why is it that he's now so infatuated and committed to this thing, and that would cause him to say what he say. Then we also have our illustrious former mayor who's now chiming in, and I thought once you're voted out, we knew what you were stood for and what to talk about, so why do we need to hear what you got to say about this now? That was one of the reasons we told you no, we didn't want you for our governor, we don't want to elevate you. So, but knowing all of that now, I figured we should give what I'll call the other side, which I don't believe there's such a thing, but I reached out to Mr. Panos Prevedoris, who is, as you know, very outspoken on the rail and has some good information, has presented it, and he's now here with me today, and I think that the papers have given he and others the opportunity to speak, but I really want to give him the opportunity to educate us more, and he's been doing a good job on that. And Panos, good morning, and thank you for joining.
Good morning, Carl. A pleasure to be here.
Well,
let me start with your first question that you kind of posed. Where did Mayor Carlisle get his beliefs that the rail is a good system? And the quick answer could be the Carpenters Union. So,
okay.
He had union support for his election, and the unions that supported him, they're pro-rail, so maybe he's tagging the line. He talked to a lot of people in the city, and of course the city is an advocate for the rail, and he's sticking to it. He believes that it's a project that will bring jobs, and certainly he's entitled to his opinion. However, the point where I disagree with him is that the state's report, the one that the outgoing governor Linda Lingle commissioned regarding the financial implications of the rail, Carlisle went on TV and he said it's an advocacy piece to kill rail.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anti-rail rant. And again, I find, because I debated Carlisle about 20-25 times, I find that in many occasions Peter Carlisle is very ill-informed. In other words, he didn't even read the executive summary of the report, because nowhere the report says no to rail. This report was not commissioned to judge rail. There is not a single sentence in the report that says Honolulu should not do rail or that Honolulu should do something else. So it's not like a piece that I would write, because, as you know, I prefer traffic solutions, hot lanes, etc., and I am anti-rail. This report never says do not go for rail. It tries to give you all the numbers that you need,
mm-hmm,
to, as a local people and local government, make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a healthy project for you? Because our expertise, meaning these people that we hire from Washington, D.C., is to do a very careful fiscal analysis of projects. Now, their expertise is on infrastructure. These people, over 20 years, they have worked in essentially nailing down precisely the cost of water systems, sewer systems, dams, harbor projects, rail projects, tollway projects. Their expertise is to nail down the cost and give you a clearer picture of how much you will pay, number one, to build it, and number two, over a select period of years. In these assumptions here, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They choose a third, because rail, of course, once you build it, you have it almost forever. So they chose a horizon little longer than the city. The city is looking at the first 20 years. These guys looked at the first 30 years, because they say by extending it by 10 years, you have also the ability to include more of the maintenance that is involved. So that's what I wanted to start from, the base of this report. This report has nothing to do with telling us whether rail is good or bad.
Right.
There is no sentence here that says Honolulu should not do rail. They say, these are the numbers, folks. Make a decision. And I think it's very compelling information. And then, you know, if we're wise, of course, we will make the right decision to move away from this project.
Mm-hmm.
But they never say that in their report. They don't take a rail or anti-rail position.
It primarily focuses on the potential for the cost of balloon and the
right,
the lack of, I'm going to describe it as due diligence, or to consider those factors that may cause it to increase in cost.
That's right.
So, and basically says, the article said the cost will balloon,
yes.
Rail report says.
Yeah, well, that's the interpretation that the media did. I mean, these people said, okay, the city says this, but we are experts in our field, and we are saying that this is a more accurate number. You would expect that the advocate of the project, which is in this case the city and the mayor, will try to minimize negatives such as the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So these people have no stake in the game. They were just paid $350,000, which is a pretty small fee for professional services in this day and age, to do this very detailed report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they did. And indeed, the cost, as you said, came higher. Mm-hmm. We can talk in detail about the cost because it's really an eye-opener. Now, one element from here that I found it clear, and I speak to my folks and all about the difference. The mayor comes out, and the previous mayor, Mayor Hanneman, they come out and they say, but, you know, FDA has done so many fiscal investigations of this report, and it's okay. Therefore, we must believe them and move on. Wrong. And these people here in this report clarified, FDA's focus is to protect the federal money.
Mm-hmm.
FDA's focus is always to shift the risk to the locality. So if there are cost overruns, if things begin to fall apart, the entire risk is placed on the local funding source. FDA wants to essentially guarantee and minimize the risk for their share.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you $1 billion and we are doing a risk analysis so that part is spent properly. The rest of it, and if you butcher the project, well, you're going to shoulder the entire risk. So it's completely different than the report on hand, which says, you know, my client now is the state of Hawaii. Here is a report that explains the situation for you local people. You might get the $1.5 billion from the feds, but here is the total risk for getting the project done and operating it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk and the amount is huge. In fact, in the introductory paragraph, they said, right now, there are 43 projects in the pipeline. Ours is the third most expensive in the nation. The first two projects that they asked for more money are in New York City. So we are comparing Honolulu with the hugest metropolitan area, New York and New Jersey combined. And guess what? The number two rail project out of these 43 is the one that Governor Christie of New Jersey canceled because he saw the figures and he says, what? You want us now to spend $8 billion on a rail system? Forget it. And you know what? The share of New Jersey for that system was only $3 billion. Only $3 billion, and for the entire state, it was a state project. Ours is a city project, and our local share is $4
billion. Mm-hmm.
So, really, really, I really believe that just looking at the numbers, we ought to cancel this project. Even if it was a good project, in other words, it will do a lot for our congestion. This report I have in front of me doesn't talk at all about congestion. As I said, it's only the fiscal part. But it tells you that even if it was a good project in terms of congestion and serving the people, at this price tag, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away. I mean, it's not a good project. It's just simply too expensive for the population. And then they have another paragraph later that says, it is too expensive and ridiculous for your size. In addition, you guys have a sewer consent decree. You have, you know, your pavements are not in good shape. You have a lot of other liabilities. Your ability to borrow money to get all of this done is just next to zero.
It's diminishing daily because we have bonds and we've overspent and we have infrastructure that's broken down.
Right. That's why the mayor actually is doing the wrong thing by wanting to accelerate this project because if you start this project and you obligate and you get the bonds, next time you visit and knock the door at Wall Street and says, now I want a couple more billion to do my sewers, Wall Street will say, where are you going with all this borrowing? I mean, your taxpaying population is 400,000, you know, households. You just overextended yourself, so I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how you're going to build them, but, you know, you cannot get bonds from us, or the rate will be quite high because your rating is going to be low.
Well, what's troubling here for me personally is that we've spent 6 years of ignoring our sewers, our water systems, channels and roadways and other things that regarding infrastructure. But one of the things that jumped out at me personally, and hopefully you can speak to this, is that, first of all, they said $350,000 into, paraphrase, it was a pall.
Right.
Now, where is the anger when there was $100 million spent by his predecessor, and we can't show accounting for that?
Right.
No.
Right.
Absolutely, the bid process for it was just handed out to friends and high school buddies and whomever. Where's the anger or the outrage on the mayor's, the current mayor's part on that? So that causes me to be concerned that there's some anger that is displaced.
Right.
Not, you know, so what could you say to that?
Well, I can say that, number one, that the fee that these people charge, $350,000, is very, very reasonable. Number two, Carlisle is simply grandstanding, huffing and puffing, as you said. And the proof is in the pudding, as Boofy Hanneman said, that something in the order of $120 million has been squandered in paperwork for this silly project. And they don't say that this was a waste of money, and then they go and criticize $350,000. I mean, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. In fact, millions of dollars were spent to brainwash the public with wrong information about the features of this project. Remember, in 2008, the city taxpayer would finance commercials on TV to tell them that this is a light rail project. Something we know now, it is a complete lie, because this is a fully elevated heavy rail. So light rail is definition. You cannot use it as a spin word.
Right.
Light rail is a small tramway type of rail that runs on the level, on the street. Ours is heavy rail elevated system. And we paid our own money to be misinformed, in addition to all the lies about jobs and this and that. I mean, 10,000 jobs. 10,000 jobs. Now, let's talk about lies. 10,000 jobs for a rail system. And the previous administration actually has written a contract, and Kiewit Pacific has won this contract to construct the first 6 miles of the train if it ever goes through environmental things and gets its funding, etc. Now, for that 6 mile segment, Kiewit Pacific is budgeting 600 workers. That's all it needs, because the process of constructing the elevated superstructure is really a copy-paste project.
Right.
You just do it, 30 feet at a time, and you continue. And for that, you don't need 5,000 workers, 600 workers.
They'd be stepping on one another.
That's right. We'll do it. And then you progress over time, and within 2-3 years, you finish the first 6 miles, and then guess what? The same folks or similar will win the next 6 miles and the next 6 miles. So over time, we're talking under 1,000 people. Now, the University of Hawaii Economic Research Unit, it's called the UHERO, had their own estimate of the total job count for the rail project based on its value. Their estimate was 2,000 at its peak. So these two jive, because most of the time is about 1,000, and at its peak it's 2,000. Hanneman and now Carlisle keep claiming 10,000 jobs. Unfortunately, the correct name for it is BS. I mean, they're really lying. I mean, a BS is a polite way really of saying it. The jobs are not there. And the important thing about the rail technology, and this report that I have in front of me clearly says it, is that it is imported technology for all but very few cities that they have the manufacturers sitting there. Basically, the way I present it is like rail will create technical and other jobs. It's like every time Hawaiian Airlines buys an airplane, a jet, it creates 150 new jobs in Seattle. Same thing for the rail. It will create jobs in Pittsburgh, in Japan, in Korea, in Canada, not in Hawaii.
Well, there are other things that jump out at me and others, but there's this gentleman, they say, Rubin, was involved, and they tried to strike at this report by saying Tom Rubin is involved and he was a spokesman. But that's one point. The other point is the job creation. Now, we know factually that, as you described, the number of jobs that's going to be created is overstated. But what they're not telling us, and we learned that a great many of the people that worked in the Hanneman administration was actually given jobs in the transportation department.
Right.
And the high-paying jobs have no knowledge or background of any of the rail.
Right.
They even moved Frank Doyle from Environmental Services, Bill Brennan, was there September 3rd. Olivera, Joyce Olivera, one of his top executives.
Right.
So this is what we have when they say jobs being created. I think they are confused and handing friends jobs, and I think there's a lot more of that to come.
Right.
So the public needs to really stand on this one and see that if someone tells them, and it only costs $350,000 to say that you've overstated and underrepresented and did not evaluate, cost overruns and what have you, and, and the cost of repair and upkeep, then something's wrong there. So anyway, if you have a question, I'm talking with Panos Prevedoris regarding rail. We're talking rail in the new report, carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and 524-1080 if you have a comment or question. Go ahead.
So let me get it from the beginning. Indeed, I received a couple of confidential emails from inside the city talking to me about the transit division that you talked about. And in fact, the transit division has become a sort of, as you said, a special place within the city to reward special people. And one of the ways they do it is the pro-rail employees that they have, like Toro Kamayasu, Joyce,
Olivera and
Brennan, they take them, they move them there, and in this way they break the salary ceilings in other regulated departments. This is a special division with special salary arrangements.
Right.
So it's a win-win situation. Not only you are rewarding your own people, but you are rewarding them with extra salary outside of the city's salary scale because it's a special appointment.
Right.
So it's a double sweet deal at our expense. That's what it comes down to. I mean, reward is not bad, but, you know, it's at taxpayer expense. This is not a for-profit type of thing. The rail will never make any money. It's a complete, you know, money loser, all of it based on taxpayer money. So, not right. Now, let's step back a minute and talk for a minute about Tom Rubin, who is, you know, well-known for his opposition to rail factually. Factually. Tom Rubin will not oppose systems that they work well, but he is called to testify in cases of egregious rail development. In other words, in places that rail really does not belong. Now, today, in Hawaii Report and other publications, there is a clarification from the preparers of the report, and they said Tom Rubin had nothing to do with the financial analysis. Tom Rubin spoke in the chapters that they do comparisons with other rail systems. For example, there is a table here that shows, although FTA has good oversight of projects, all recent projects ran a 23.5% cost overrun, over and above all the contingencies. That's the work of Tom Rubin. Now, Tom Rubin is a person that was working inside the Los Angeles Metropolitan Transit Administration. He knows intimately buses and rail, and he has seen the costs, and he has knowledge from the inside. That's what makes him so valuable. He's not a fly-by-night consultant at all. He's an industry insider that his perspective is very much an expert perspective on what works, under what conditions, and what is likely to happen.
You got a question, a call in. Don, good morning. Go ahead. You got a question or comment?
Yes. Good morning, Panos.
Morning, Don.
I voted for you.
Thank you.
I was at the Rotary Club when you were at the debate with Carlisle and Cardwell and Mr. Tan.
Cool.
And the issue of rail was brought up, and I know Mr. Cardwell was talking about the rail, and you were against it. My feeling is the rail is not practical right now. The economy is so bad that we can't afford it, like you say, and others too. The thing is, Mr. Cardwell says that it will cost legal fees if we don't build this rail. Is that pretty much true, that we're going to pay more to have legal fees to get out of it?
The correct answer is yes, but they will be modest. Let me go back and remind you of, remember the van cams we had and the red light cameras?
Right.
That was a contract that the state had signed, and I believe at that time, if memory serves, we did pay them $1.5 million to essentially go away because the public did not want them anymore.
Right.
So if you don't want a project and you have a signed contract, now in their case, they had invested in the vans, they had invested in traffic signal technology and all. So essentially, we pay them a lot for their sunk cost plus a bit of a penalty, a sweetening just to go away. In this case, the contractor hasn't started building anything and maybe it has a minimum mobilization. So I think that a fee in excess of $1 million would be unjustified and you can take them to court for that. But I would expect either they will be friendly and just say, okay, the public doesn't want it, so just give us, you know, whatever. This is our mobilization expenses, paid, and then we'll go away. Or they will decide to sue and then the city will counter sue. But remember, there is going to be a ton of lawsuits the moment this project hits the ground.
Right.
So it's going to be a lawsuit galore one way or another, mm-hmm. and the cost will be comparable. It comes with the territory. When you try to develop a multi-billion-dollar project, right. multiple lawsuits will arise one way or another. There hasn't been a project that has been lawsuit-free in Hawaii or anywhere. So that's part of the equation.
So we shouldn't have signed any contracts until we got the...
That was the worst thing that Mufi Hahnemann did.
Uh-huh.
This and the EPA consent decree. It was none of his business to do this the last month before he left the office. I mean, really, that behavior is inexcusable. I mean, this was the Kuleana of the next mayor, whoever was the next mayor, but he had promises made to the unions and he had to keep them, so, you know.
And Mr. Panos, are you going to be more on the radio, continuing on with your shows and whatnot with other radio stations?
Every time I get invitations, I always show up.
Okay. I listen to you at another radio station, and I really enjoyed listening to you.
All right, Don.
Aloha.
Thanks for calling.
Well, he'll be back here too, Don, so always hang in here at KWAI. Bob, you there?
I am. Good morning.
Got a comment or a question for Panos?
I would thank the gentleman for coming on the air and airing this out, you know, what is really going on, and what is the easiest way to put a suit against this project? You know, it seems like you're saying there's going to be all this litigation. What is like a 10-word, you know, suit against the city? You mean that, you know, for just lying, you know, just outright, you're lying about everything, you know? Especially about the job thing, the 10,000 jobs. That may be over 20 years of the life of this thing, maybe 10,000 jobs, you know what I mean?
Right.
But not in the span that you're saying, like 6 miles at a time, there's no 10,000 jobs there.
Right.
Even peripheral jobs.
A couple of good ways that you can get your feelings known is, first and foremost, let your council person know. It's very significant because, you know, they know that myself, Panos, is anti-rail. They heard about me. So even if I give them 10 phone calls, they know already. So my opinion doesn't count any more than yours. And so the council needs to hear from their constituents.
Well, I know that mine is Ernie. It's Ernie Martin. He's coming around.
Okay.
No, yeah, I think that was he wanted.
North Shore and all. So I'm not sure exactly where Ernie is. But hopefully he will be one of the more rational people.
But he still has some kind of say on it. My whole thing, sir, is I'm a farmer, and my number one concern is that they're going to cover up the best land in the whole state of Hawaii.
That's right. Hopefully. That's very good that you're bringing it up. It would have come later, hopefully, in the conversation, but now it's the best time. Yes.
I'm glad you got it. Would you amplify that for me, please? Because you know what? That is a market that is right there. It's a minute away from the main population. It's the best possible scenario that you would ever have with a farm and a city. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Understand that. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to cover it and kill all this? We're shooting ourselves in the foot for self-sustainability and everything else.
Exactly. And it is so... people don't know about it. I mean, last week I was giving a lecture on sustainability at Punahou High School, and the students were aghast because they didn't know when I shared, well, you know what, the first 3 miles of the rail,
you
and that's where it starts.
Put an ad in the paper every day.
You
want to lose your bread basket, you want to lose your pumpkin patch, you want to lose your cornfield.
That's right. That's right.
And that would make the kids, like, click, you know, oh, I'm going to lose all my entertainment and festive things. You got to start in the schools educating these
exactly.
people. What the heck is
yeah,
wrong?
I mean, the kids were just wide-eyed that, you know, the prime agricultural land.
You got the platform to go to these places, and please amplify that, because that is one of our main treasures of this state.
That's right.
Once we blow that, you know, I'm a farmer. I see that happening? I'm out of here, man. They don't care about no farmland. Export. We're going to always import, you know?
That's right. So we are all, they want us to be dependent all the time, which is the wrong thing to do, yes.
Yeah, we're in the wrong track.
It's the wrong policy.
I voted for you too, sir. I'm a blue-hearted Democrat, but I just go by the person, you know
what
I mean?
That's right.
You seem like the right guy for the job, and this Cardwell guy, I think he ought to be indicted already. On lying stuff.
You mean Carlisle?
We'll prosecute the prosecutor, yes.
I would be a prosecutor, I tell you, because I got the goods on him, because he says one thing, and a couple of months ago, was he the guy that said, I want to wear all the way around the island?
I know.
We're fighting an uphill battle with this guy, but, keep at it, sir.
That would
please
foolish,
amplify
yes.
the farmland thing, because that is the most, in the long run, you mark my words, that'll be, everybody go, wow, we covered up our bread basket. You know, it just comes through it. I hope it doesn't. It looks like it's going downhill.
It's going downhill, yes.
Mm-hmm. I hope it crashes, you know, wherever, you know, no, it doesn't hurt nobody. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, Bob, thank you.
Yeah, you guys have a big weekend.
Now, there are a couple of things that we've talked about and touched on. This gentleman, Ruben, how dare he get involved in this process? And they were quick, they being Hanneman and others and the proponents of this rail, said that was a red flag of sort to
mm-hmm.
But what about the red flags, the gale force warnings that we saw with the fundraiser, the illegal fundraiser that Hanneman had in Pittsburgh,
yes. mm-hmm.
which was primary people involved with
rail
right. and Bombardier and all of that.
That's right.
And yet, you know, the prosecutor didn't get upset with
nothing.
That. Didn't
nothing.
Grab hold of that, wasn't appalled, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm going to extend an invite. If the three of them,
mm-hmm.
As much as I hate dignifying Mr. Hanneman's, we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
We told him about his rail and all of his plans. We
mm-hmm.
gave him a tremendous loss. I mean, I don't think one should
be
eager to show up
anywhere
and talk about that. We've already given our statement. We
mm-hmm.
have made a firm statement to Mufi Hanneman. We didn't like what you presented to us. You didn't have a good package, so butt out.
Mm-hmm.
But to invite him back. But to say that, Ruben, this is a sinister thing, and once again, you know, I say things about the governor, the existing governor, Governor Lingle, but I applaud her for taking this measure, because in this town, you know, clearly the union was behind Mufi. They were the guys right down to the degree of driving around honking their horns around
mm-hmm.
Honolulu Holly
and
sponsoring things. Here she stood up once
mm-hmm.
again, checks and balances,
hopefully.
And I would not have thought that Mr. Carlisle would have just, it's difficult to wrap my brain around that, to say how did, and
right.
you're giving some insight, potentially it's the union background, but the media should say to Mr. Hanneman, you had an illegal fundraiser with people
right.
that were supporting this rail. You hurried. You created the, quote, emergency. You created the climate where it would allow a lawsuit. You
mm-hmm.
gave the lawsuit footing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you were prudent, you wouldn't have taken
right.
these measures.
Right. You spoke clearly about that, and, you know, Carlisle should have done his job more diligently. Again, not to take pot shots about Carlisle, but if you look at his prosecutorial record, he really addressed easy-to-win cases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very clear cases and all. So he was a well-liked prosecutor. He did his job, but in many cases he chose very carefully, and he didn't address controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, Carlisle is very political.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about necessarily doing the right thing all the time, but doing the right thing for Carlisle.
Right.
Being, you know... Now, speaking of these assessments, Carlisle also mentioned that the fact that this report may be invalid is because, number one, of Tom Rubin, and number two, of Panos Providouros, myself. He mentioned me in the view and said Panos is involved, therefore, you know, it is an anti-rail run. So I had to issue a disclosure there and say that these people came and interviewed me since I was a member of every transit panel that the council has appointed, three of them. And that's why they interviewed for a total of 1 hour. And during that hour, actually, they were very surprised that this small place is going ahead with a $5 to $6 billion project, and there has been never a single outside financial assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of their comment, and I saw their white eyes, that immediately I wrote an email to Governor Abercrombie, and I said, no matter what, let's say, the Lingle State report says, you got to do your own.
Right.
You cannot proceed with a $6 billion without doing your own due diligence. Take another 2 months. These reports don't take a very long time because they're based on carefully chosen assumptions plus the information from the final environmental impact statement. Basically, for every couple billion dollars of infrastructure, you need to have a separate financial report. And at this point, we only have this one in front of us.
Right.
And these political people, they're ready to dismiss it. The good thing is that they may dismiss it locally because it's convenient to them. But Congress and the FTA will not dismiss this report.
Mm-hmm.
These people are really, I mean, the president of the company who actually authored most of the financial analysis is a Harvard-educated planner. He has done wonderful financial analysis for other projects. So this report is very credible. Now, before we run out of time, let me talk a little bit about their numbers. Okay, let's talk a little bit about numbers, so our audience gets an idea of how much this rail project will cost. It's okay to talk in billions over a long time period, but let's break it down to how much it would cost every year. So these people did an analysis of 30 years starting from 2011. Okay, and they have a best-case scenario, which is essentially what the city says, and then a worst-case scenario where, you know, the income doesn't come as much, the federals don't give us as much, so we have to make up for all these things. Now, under the best-case scenario, this project will cost us $310 million per year for the next 30 years. And you sit back and say, well, $310 million. In the worst case, the same number is $483 million per year. $483 million per year. Let's put them in perspective. Can we pay this kind of money year in and year out for 30 years? Well, I have in front of me, as you see, the City Council final budget that was passed in fiscal year 2005, this is the CIP component, the capital improvement plans. Every year, Honolulu has two budgets, the operating budgets to run the city and the CIP budget to do projects. How much was the fiscal year 2000? Why did I use 2005? Because the economy was steady at the time. It was post 9/11, but we didn't have all the huge bills that came with the sewers, with the rail and all.
Mm-hmm.
2005 is a clean budget with the city running normally. The total budget for the total year, hold on, it's $298 million. The best case scenario for rail is $310 million. So under the best case scenario, based on the money that the city is collecting today, we can only do rail and nothing else at all.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the rail will substitute the entire capital improvement plan of the city. That's what it means. Unless you start collecting a hell of a lot more money to do the usual CIP plus the rail. That's why people tell you that you really cannot afford. And the report really does not say it in black and white. We're supposed to be able to say that. You look at the printout of the budget, and the budget is $300 million. And you want to squander 100% of this money and say, I'm giving it to rail, and I'm not doing anything else. You want a sidewalk in your neighborhood? Forget it. You want to replace those bathrooms at Kapiolani Park? Forget it. Everything.
Yeah, you want more police officers
to respond? All the CIP budget is actually, the rail cost is larger than the CIP budget. I mean, once you see that, you say, well, this is a project I cannot afford. I cannot give 100% of my budget in one project and ignore everything else. And that, for 30 years, is not in one time year. It's $310 million every year for 30 years.
So this would impact our fire departments, our police departments,
everything. And
we'd be losing, we're already losing police officers to other cities and states because we can't afford to bring them up to par with the nation's, you know.
I mean, not to be over dramatic about it, but doing 30 years without CIP means everything will collapse. The firehouses, the roads and all, because you don't have any investment to reinvest in your infrastructure. And of course, this means that you are not doing any sewers or water mains or anything. Mm-hmm. Because again, all these, because I'm reading here, you see the CIP is sewer, general improvement, highway, solid waste, bikeways, housing, parks and playgrounds, and other utilities. None of this will get done because all of them, if you sum them up, is $298 million. In fiscal year 05, and you know, you can do a little bit of an amortization over the years and get for the current value for next year, but 310, same thing. You cannot afford it.
Well, I can give them a place to go for reference. Go to Gary, Indiana, and they will see a system that collapsed on itself because it didn't have the revenue.
Right.
And the CIP funding, the sewers, the streets, you name it, just gone to the dogs. But one of the things, there's another player in this big picture, is Mr. Abercrombie.
Okay.
And quite interesting, both parties, Mr. Carlisle and Mr. Abercrombie, we thought we would have new thoughts, new brain cells introduced into the think tank. But it's difficult to digest this when both embrace something that we know was poorly planned, poorly contrived, and I will use the term contrived because it was manipulated.
And
so now we have him. Will he raise the GET? Will he increase taxes to cover this? Because he has openly stated he supports it.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion on that? Should we be worried that more taxes down the pipe?
Unfortunately, well, the way I have understood it so far is that Neil Abercrombie considers this city culiana. It's a rather simple way of looking at it. Obviously, it's a city project. It's not a state project. It's a rather simple way of looking at it, and he said that he will look at the environmental law. And if there is no environmental wrongdoing, he will sign on it, because by signing it, you just simply say that, you know, this project is environmentally acceptable. He doesn't consider his duty to double-guess the city in every little detail that is very important details, all of them, like the money or the ridership. Because he says, well, the city is supposed to be doing its due diligence. In other words, it puts all the onus of the weight of the report on Carlisle. What I have heard is that Mr. Abercrombie has been briefed about the state budget, and he is very worried. He needs to do a lot of things stateside, so he cannot afford to have the rail thing floating over his head. Now, the short-term solution for Abercrombie is essentially to sign off on it and let it go. Because, again, this is a city federal project with federal money. It's not a state project. But as Linda Lingle explained, and I'm sure that Neil Abercrombie understands this explanation, although this is a city project, the bonds that we draw, say $4 billion to build the rail, are paid by the Hawaii taxpayer. Once you borrow these monies already from Wall Street, Mr. Abercrombie cannot go back again and visit, knock at the door and say, you know what? I need $2 billion for my airport modernization. I need $1 billion for my harbors modernization. And I need another $3 billion for my highways modernization. Because Wall Street will tell you, I'm sorry, Mr. Carlisle was here a week ago, and he already borrowed $4 billion for his rail. So your cap is another couple of billion, so choose what you're going to do, because you cannot borrow the rest of the money. So that's why it's sort of a chicken and egg kind of thing. It's the same pool, the same taxpayer. And Oahu really is more or less 85-90% of Hawaii. So right. If you overtax Oahu, the taxing ability of the rest of the islands to pull the state coffers is minimal. That's why he needs to be overly cautious about this project.
Right.
Now, legally, he cannot stop it unless there is clear environmental impact that is not mitigatable. He cannot stop it. And Carlisle has spoken about this. But it is possible that there are huge adverse environmental impacts, mm-hmm. such as the destruction of agricultural land, the destruction of the ivy, and historical preservation.
And viewpoint.
Viewpoint, all of that. That's why there are partners in the Oahu Burial Council, the Council on Culture and the Arts, but they have a very hard time signing off on what is called the programmatic agreement. Programmatic agreement is the next stage after the EIS is signed. It means what is the actual steps that the city will take to make sure that the environmental impacts and cultural, etc., are all mitigated, the specific strategy. Then you need to have a signed programmatic agreement, mm-hmm. so that the feds will give you, number one, the okay, and number two, the money. So even if the FEIS is signed, an unsigned programmatic agreement keeps the project in the paperwork stage. Mm-hmm. You cannot start it on the ground. Now, people will tell you that there is a work on rail going around, and that is correct. That is the geotechnical investigations. You have to do that. Mm-hmm. It's the project now is in close to the final design, so they have essentially trucks and equipment poking into the ground. They drill deep 30 to 50 feet to find out what kind of soil is there, mm-hmm. in order, if the project goes ahead, to have information about the EV and the geotechnical properties, so that they can put the foundations and the footings.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of the work is legal to conduct right now, because it's an investigation for the ongoing studies. It is illegal to pour a single column for the report, so for mm-hmm. the project. So construction hasn't started and is not likely to start any time, even next year. So, although, of course, if you ask Carlisle, he says in 3 months you will be starting, but no such chance.
Well, the same factors that caused and influenced Carlisle, as you've alluded to, is the union.
Right.
Now, we also know that the union is quite entrenched, I'll use a term, and have great tentacles in the Democratic
mm-hmm.
Party.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Mr. Abercrombie is limited as to what he can do, but I think I'm concerned and would like to have him to answer, will he be influenced by union's influence? They were successful with Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so are we going to be blindly led into this? And to go back and look at DPP, this is what Mr. Carlisle should mm-hmm. do immediately. Go back and look at the Department of Planning and Permitting
mm-hmm.
and see how Mufi Hanneman gutted the Department of Planning and Permitting. And in that, there were a number of people that retired then and now rehired in the transportation department, and also went and worked for contractors and working for that program. So what does that tell you? So here we've taken these people out, they retired, we're paying them retirement, now they're getting consulting or rehiring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is that doing for the infrastructure issues such as building permits, and the lines are longer now, and the response from DPP? This is what Carlisle should go back and revisit.
Well, there are so many things that he should revisit, and I'm afraid that Carlisle did start on the wrong foot, because basically what he did, he went ahead and reappointed three-quarters of the Hanneman administration, the cabinet.
Yeah.
I found that totally unacceptable, and actually it vindicated the my hypothesis that Carlisle really does not know a lot of people in this town.
Mm-hmm.
He knows a bunch of other powerful or not so powerful lawyers.
Right.
But beyond that, he really doesn't, and he doesn't know He doesn't have the expertise, really, and knowledge to run the city. I was quite surprised during our debate that they asked him where Lualua Lei is,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lualua, how can you not know? It's, you know, the naval station was there, major, and then the PVT, that's the second largest landfill we have in the state,
mm-hmm.
accepting 25% to 30% of our waste, demolition waste, and he didn't even know that we have a second landfill in Lualua. I'm quite surprised, and I don't know how deep his lack of knowledge goes. And so when it comes to rail, yeah, I have a severe concern that he just, he got religion about it, I call it. You know, he got a belief, but it's not based on, the actual performance of the system
well,
and
yeah.
what it'll do.
One would say no one's perfect, but when you are ignorant of facts and then you embrace an existing...
Right.
Misinformed program or
right.
a program that is just contrived. You really can't
yeah.
trust it.
I mean, you give him the best information possibly for the fiscal state of the rail, and he immediately goes out on television in public and he labels it an anti-rail tirade or rant. I mean, it doesn't
yeah.
compute. I mean, this person really in this position is the wrong person right now. I mean, they're very disappointing, actually.
Well, Panos, thank you for coming. Is there any closing? We're down to the last minute. I would like to invite you back, and Mr. Carlisle,
back.
And I would like you two can
sure.
have this hour or 2 hours and sit and educate the public, and if he's willing to do that, I'm sure someone will tell him I was sitting here talking about him. So.
Well, I'll be more than happy to come back, and maybe we'll address many more details of this report. Today we hit a couple of the highlights, but, you know, it's good information that our listeners should have, and we should do this sometime.
Well, soon, and if they don't want to come
here.
On, I
yeah.
want to bring you back because it's important that
right.
you seem to have, nothing else, we should at least be able to listen to both sides
right.
And,
right.
and be afforded that
well,
opportunity.
The other side is in the media all the time, so, you know.
Well, anytime you want to come in, you're welcome. So thank you again for
thank you,
dropping
Carol.
In. Okay, we're going to end this hour, and we'll be back in the next 10 minutes at carolcox.com. You can pick this up on podcasts at carolcox.com. CARROLL 524 1080 is the number. And we're going to be talking a little bit about John Lennon and have some interesting amongst us. There's a citizen here who knew Mr. Mark Chapman, and we're going to be talking about that. So talk to you soon.
the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.